Trish and Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor and
Trish McGregor
and our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science, Stories, and Research. Trisha's latest novel, which is coming out in January, is called Silent Thunder. My most recent novel is called Tulpas, a Story of Mysterious Beings Created Through Deep Meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Well, hang on. And I hate it, Rob, but can we start again?
I couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear me?
So,
really?
Yeah. Just lean into that mic and listen.
Sorry, Susan.
Sorry. We'll try it again. But yeah, I was maybe I can make this work, but really? As long as we're as close as we are, let's try it again. So
okay.
Three.
That's better.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor.
And Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, The Latest Science, Stories, and Research. Trish's latest novel, which is coming out in January, is called Silent Thunder. And Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas, a story of mysterious beings created through deep meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Susan Brown is a spiritual and well-being coach with over a decade of experience helping others connect with angels and raise their vibrations. A teacher in the Diana Cooper School of White Light and a trainer in the Guild of Energists, she's developed her own intuitive style of tapping into the guidance of angels. She's the author of Angel EFT, and her new book, Your Angel Guides, is a practical and uplifting guide to connecting with the angelic realms to transform your life. Susan has a passion for nature and lives in County Kerry, Ireland. Welcome, Susan. It's
welcome,
great to have
Susan.
You.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now tell us about yourself and how you got interested in angels.
Yeah, so angels, I had sort of a spiritual awakening in when I was about 28. And I was brought up with a very open-minded spiritual mom who was a yoga teacher and taught me about energies from a young age. And we did a Reiki training together, actually, in 1998. But everything went quiet for me on the spiritual front for a while. And then, whoosh, in 2008, around that time, I had experiences of messages kind of coming through me. And I didn't know what they were at first, but I started really hungering for information about the chakras, angels, energy, and it was just so fascinating. And when I realized that it was angelic messages, it just opened everything up. And when I found the Diana Cooper School, that was a real expansion in community. And it was amazing.
Well, what is the Diana Cooper School? I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. So Diana Cooper is a international best-selling spiritual author who writes about the angels. She's been writing about the angels for decades. And she decided to put a school together to help people learn to spread this information, you know, to and it's a really grounded, really earthy school with teaching really amazing cosmic things, you know, angels and dragons, and there's all sorts of topics taught, amazing topics. But she gives you a really good foundation in how to run workshops, you know, the practicalities, and how to help people open up to the angels in the angelic realms. Yeah.
Here's a basic, very basic question. What is an angel? Have angels ever been human?
Oh, no. Angels have not been human. So they don't have free will like humans. They're these beings of light sent from source to assist. And they just love to help us. So everybody has a guardian angel. Lots of people have heard of the guardian angel, whether they believe in it or not. So you have at least one angel with you, whether you ever believe in them or not. But if you start to think of angels, you really draw them into your life. You know, if you do start to read about them, talk about them, connect with them, then loads of angels come to your side. And they're just these completely non-judgmental, loving beings that just want to help you to live your divine blueprint.
Yeah. So in our religion, they're known as messengers, aren't they? Messengers of God?
That's right. Yeah. And they crop up in almost all the religions in some form or another. But you definitely don't have to be religious to connect with angels.
You say everybody has one, but suppose you have one and you never communicate with it. That's got to be boring for the angel.
Yeah, right. It must be really boring for them. They must be just twiddling their thumbs.
They just stick around. That's admirable.
Yeah.
I suppose they have other things to do.
Yeah.
Well, they just keep trying, I guess. You know, they can't step in unless we ask them, but they do try to help us as best they can.
Do you think they have wings, or is that just something depicted in art?
Ah, that's a really good question. So I sometimes see them with wings, but I think they show me this image because it's like so traditional and it's something that I'll recognize straight away. But they also sometimes appear to me like orbs of light or like almost star-shaped light beams. Huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, did they, when they started appearing to you, was it after you started communicating with them?
Yeah, it was around the same time. So when I started to learn about angels, it was funny because the year before that awakening, a friend lent me a book by Diana Cooper, actually, about angels. And I remember trying to read it at the time, and I couldn't quite connect with it. I felt like it was wishful thinking or something. But a year later, I couldn't have felt more differently. And that same book was invaluable to me. But it was just funny. It was just timing for whatever reason.
So do you need to be psychic to connect with angels?
Ah, that's another really good question. I reckon that we probably are all innately psychic, but we just either don't know it, don't recognize it, or don't use it. I think that this is just innate in all of us, and maybe we haven't got it switched on yet. You know, some people haven't got it switched on yet. You know, I don't think it's a particularly special or unique thing, although people would have always thought of it that way. I think we can all connect with our angels. So maybe that means we're all psychic.
It's interesting. You said it happened to you when you were 28.
Yeah.
Because astrologically, that's your first Saturn return.
Oh, cool.
So that's, that only happens three times in your life, 28, 56, and then I think 99, something like that. But it's, so that's
amazing.
Interesting.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Did it change your life? Or how did it change your life?
Changed my life in so many ways. I was like, I had all this help all along and I didn't know. And I just started to heal so many things in my life. You know, it was like a big cleanup began. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always been interested in well-being and positive mental health. My background is I'm a mental health nurse, not practicing anymore, counselor. I've always been fascinated with how to improve and heal myself, but also to help others. You know, that's been my life's work. But so I've been on this journey a long time. I found when the angels come in, and it's the same as when I work with clients who are interested in angels, progress is just a different level altogether.
That's interesting.
Now,
have you spoken to anybody else in the mental health industry about angels? Engaging them to help?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I used to work in the acute ward in the hospital, so it wouldn't always be appropriate to talk about it there, but I definitely did the work there. You know, I used to bring the angels in and they really helped me to manage my energy in there, you know.
Do you have a particular angel that you communicate with?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, I work with Archangel Michael a lot, Archangel Metatron, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Gabriel. I had this lovely experience this evening with Archangel Gabriel. I was having a little rest, and it was like I could see a snowstorm almost around me, and it was just like feathers, and I was like, oh, that's Archangel Gabriel coming in, you know. And so I work with lots of different ones, but yeah, those are some of the main ones. Yeah.
What's the difference between an angel? I'm sorry, Rob. She talks, I think of questions. What's the difference between an angel and an archangel?
Oh, so it's like a hierarchy. I mean, I know that sounds very old-fashioned, but I suppose the archangels are omnipresent, and they are almost like the managers. very loving and brilliant managers, you know, and you can have angels who work under the ray of Archangel Michael, for example. Yeah. And even our guardian angels might work under a specific archangel as well.
So are all the archangels male?
No, they're androgynous, but we tend to have male names associated with them. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So when an archangel or when an angel is assigned to a person or goes for the person, who decides that? That angel? I mean... Why do angels choose specific people?
Yeah. I mean, I think they incarnate with us throughout lifetimes. Uh-huh. You know, so, I mean, they say your guardian angel is assigned to you before birth, but I really feel like it goes on for lifetimes. And this is an agreement with, I guess, your soul and source, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So is there any
busy with our archangels?
Yeah. Is there any particular way to ask and receive information from angels?
Well, there's so many ways, and really I would say to anybody starting out, anybody who's watching, listening, thinking, how do I start connecting with angels? Is just keep it really simple. You know, just call them in your mind, angels, help me with this, or you know, in my book, I talk about turning challenges into questions and inviting the angels in. So angels, how might I face this issue? Or how might I raise my vibration in this area? Or how might I raise my thoughts? And you can ask just angels generally, or you can say guardian angel, or you can say Archangel Michael or whichever, you know, to invite them in. So just calling them in your mind. But really, if you start to read about, think about, hear about, train, and you know, the more you kind of expose yourself to angels and learning about them, the more easy it is for them to connect with you, because you're coming onto that vibration.
So I've always thought of angels as just another more religious term for spirit guides. Is there a difference between angels and spirit guides?
I feel there is. I feel that spirit guides have often been incarnated. So they might be deceased loved ones or ancestors or other beings, but they have walked on the earth.
Right.
And they have decided to be your spirit guide, you know, for a time or for a long time. And some of them have very angelic energy. And people often say, oh, so-and-so is my angel. But they're like an angel, you know, because they feel like an angel. They're on a very angelic frequency, but they're not, because they're different.
What sign are you? I'm sorry. What month are you born in?
Oh, July, Cancer.
Oh, a Cancer. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Your water sign. Okay. Open and receptive.
Yeah. So is it okay to ask an angel about materialistic things, like asking for money?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we think about when we ask for money, we think about, well, why are we asking for money? You know, what are we looking for? If we're coming from a very ego place, like I want money to show off, then the angels will step back from that.
Right.
But like, money makes our life easier generally. So the angels want to help us make our life easier. Not so we have like an easy ride. That's not why we came to Earth, to have this easy ride. But they want us to help raise our frequency so that we can live our highest blueprint, you know, our highest potential. And if having more money helps us do that, then absolutely, you know.
Now, are people in Ireland receptive to angels, to the idea?
Yeah. Well, Ireland still has a very high Catholic population, but a lot of people would have grown up with the guardian angel prayer. So they would have been, you know, they would have known that prayer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a mix. Yeah, there's a mix. People, you know, there's a good there's a good mix across.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ireland's also known for fairies and wee people as well.
Yes, that's only the tourists. No, I'm just kidding. No. Ireland, yeah, is very, very much connected with the spirit of the land. And there's a real uprising of that lately, like people talking about it more and more. And
that's good.
The voice that the land itself has, you know, and the spirit of nature and the spirits in nature and so forth. So that's really coming to the fore now as people get more sensitive and, you know, coming into this new way of being.
Yeah. In this area where you live, is there a lot of nature?
Yes, absolutely. I live in the countryside.
Oh, okay.
There are fields all around me.
Oh, cool.
And there's ocean just over a mile away. Huh. So it is a real nature spot, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was looking at a map. Go ahead, John.
Oh, no, I was just asking a question. Do you feel like Ireland has a different sense for this than the UK, than England, that kind of thing? Do you think it's something that's specific to Ireland?
Angels?
Well, just the spirit of the whole thing.
The interest in
Oh, I would say it's similar in that there's a good distribution of different beliefs and different interests. You know, I'd say that they're, even though the culture is quite different, but I would say there's the same maybe amount of people that are interested. Yeah.
Do you teach this? Do you teach about this also?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I run classes. I run workshops and I run courses and I have lots of instant downloads as well on my website that are, you know, previous classes, recordings. Yeah.
Huh.
All of it online, or do you do it in person at all?
I do in person as well. Yeah. So I do lots of shorter ones online and then, yeah, do in face-to-face.
Now,
as well.
Can you ask your angel to help somebody else? I mean, is that all? Is that permitted?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Now, everybody has their own free will. So, you know, it's then up to the angels and that person's higher self, whether that help can be received or not. But the worst it can do is nothing. So I always ask, you know, for someone else, if you're worried about someone or, you know, you want somebody to change their mind about something or whatever it is, you can ask the angels. And if it's for the highest good, they will help. It creates bridge of light.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you always have an ally.
Absolutely. And the angels love helping us. So we can't ask them too much. You know, it's not like, not her again.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about vibrational frequency and angel connection?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I created a scale, a vibrational scale, that goes from 0 to 10. And it's a funny shape. It's a little bit like an egg timer because it's wide at the top and the bottom and it's narrow in the middle. I put it in my book, Ask Your Angel Guides, and it's on my website as well. And it, I haven't got one to hand, of course, But zero is like the worst we can possibly feel vibrationally, and it usually corresponds with mood. So anybody who finds vibration a bit hard to comprehend, think of it as mood, because they're really similar. So if you're in a really incredibly low mood, or feeling really terribly sad, that you couldn't get out of bed, you might be zero. And then 10 would be when you're absolutely on top of the world, and really well in yourself, you know, not crazy, really feeling full of joy and perfectly in alignment. And when we're in those higher vibrations, say 7, 8, 9, 10, it's much more easy for us to perceive the messages of our angels. So if we ask for help when we're in the lower frequencies, it's not that the angels won't help us, but we might be less likely to notice the help that they send. So they might line up some synchronicities that and we don't spot them because we're thinking, well, you know, we're in those low vibrations, we're kind of thinking, oh, nothing ever helps me kind of thing. So does that make sense? Or is it,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that leads to a question of how do you receive messages? Do you hear like a voice, or does it come symbolically? Or
through writing?
Yeah, through, yeah.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, it was like thoughts in my mind. So it wasn't like hearing a voice, like someone else's voice. Yeah. It was like a thought in my mind that I knew or I felt wasn't coming from me, but was rather coming through me. And it felt like a very loving, very trustworthy, you know, message kind of coming into my mind. So I guess claircognizance or clairsentience, like clear feeling as well. And also when I started writing Ask Your Angel Guides, my guidance from the angels was to write down the questions at first, to buy a notebook and have that specially for that purpose. And so I did that while I was writing the book, and it was such a fun journey because I was thinking, wow, what can I ask now? And, you know, I've tried the questions down and my handwriting isn't great, so I had to take real care. And then the messages would start flowing in and I'd write those down. So that's a lovely way for people to try as well, is writing down and then like you're channeling the answer. You just really relax, let yourself, let your hand flow across the page. But there's so many different ways the angels can connect with us, and they'll choose the perfect way for each person.
Now, when a human being passes on, does that angel, what does that angel do? I mean, do they help them pass on, or do they go on to somebody
else? I don't think they go on to someone else. I think they stay with that person. Yeah. And I think they really help them to do the healing that people do when they cross over as well. And if they're going to incarnate again, they'll go with them again.
So they're like stuck with the human being for good, in a sense.
I think so. Yeah, that's the sense I get. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I always have a friend on the other side.
I wonder if they could be part of your larger consciousness, a part of your soul.
Definitely connected with your soul, but probably separate. You know, the angels are not human, so they've come from source, and they're on a different vibration than us. So
Maybe mentors.
Mentors. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like mentors, like coaches. I like to think of them like coaches.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
My cat just came over here and said, I've got an angel.
Thanks. Archangel Felier is the angel that works with animals. Well, one of the archangels.
Who is it?
Archangel Felier. It's the kind of Connie Felier. Yeah, Felyai, Felyai, yeah.
It's a complicated name.
I know, right, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Does he work with all animals?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So in people that come on the Mystical Underground, a lot of them are talk about fifth dimensional living in the fifth dimension. Can you talk a bit about that, or... is that something that you're pursuing?
Absolutely. So we're going through a shift at the moment. So people are moving from the third to the fifth dimension, and many, many people already have. And lots of people have, but they might be still in like an elevator state that they've experienced the fifth dimension, but they might come down and up. And sometimes that's life, you know, because while we're in this human body, it can be difficult to maintain the fifth dimension. We get old triggers because we're human. And when we pull us down again, but you don't usually go back into third dimension once you've woken up. You know, you might have done it fourth, because third is like you don't really know anything spiritually and your heart is very closed. But it's also like you don't know about all the stuff that's available to you. Mm-hmm. So more and more people are coming into the fifth dimension. And when we're doing our work, when we're stepping into our light and spreading our wisdom and kindness, we're helping other people to move into the fifth dimension as well. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why the angels will help us with pretty much anything once it's in alignment with our soul purpose, is because, like, even we talk about the parking angels or the, you know, the angels that help us with everyday things, because they want us to help us keep in that fifth dimensional, or to move into that fifth dimensional state, so that we can do our work and spread the light.
That you find a parking space? Is that
I always talk about this one because so many people have heard of the parking angels.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Parking angels, yeah.
Well, I love it.
On the other extreme, can they help us in the world and dealing, you know, for example, we're in a very, very tense sense of duality now, two sides. And actually almost like two different realities of belief. And, you know, so, you know, some people don't even talk to their other family members because they're, you know, just in that other world. Can angels help us in that direction? Because it's a pretty bad situation right now.
Absolutely.
At least here. I don't know about Ireland.
Yeah. No, I'm so sorry to hear you saying that, because I really feel it. It's so important to work with the angels at this time, because that duality is the illusion of the third dimension. And we really need to challenge ourselves to keep coming up into the fifth dimension and seeing beyond the illusion. We're being constantly invited, I feel, at the moment, to take sides, you know, to go into the us and them. I'm right, mm-hmm. they're wrong, this kind of thing. And that brings our vibration down every time, you know, when we do that. And it's such a challenge. And that's why it's such a great time that we've incarnated, because we've come for these ultimate lessons.
God.
super strong and powerful to raise our light and, you know, see the light in people, even if they're behaving like complete and utter. I won't finish the sentence.
So somewhat related to that, some people we deal with can be really draining our energy. Is there a way of psychic vampires that we can clear the energy for if you're empathetic like that?
Yeah, it's a really good challenge when you meet somebody like that, because it's showing you to manage your energy, and it's showing you to protect yourself and also to cleanse yourself and not get sucked in. So the challenge of the empath is not to go around sponging up everybody's energy, mm-hmm. right? Like that's what empaths do until they learn how to manage their energy. And even when they've learned, they sometimes forget and get caught out. So when you get caught out, you bring in the angels, ask Archangel Michael to cut the cords between you and that personal situation. And you can ask Archangel Zadkiel to bring in the violet flame to blaze through your energy fields. And there's so many lovely things you can do with the angels to clear and uplift your energy again and protect yourself.
So you can protect yourself, but how do you help that person? Is there a way? I mean, how can you channel something to help that person?
You can ask the angels to help that person, but you can't, I suppose some people have, you know, people have the right to be miserable, sick,
or, and unhappy, you know, and sick,
you know, bad, you know, no vibration, or any of these things. They have the right to choose. So we can't take that choice away from them, but you're looking after your energy and raising your vibration is a huge inspiration to other people. You know, like when you step into your light and do your thing and spread your light, that is hugely inspiring to others. So that person that might have been driving you bananas because you want to change them or you want them to cheer up or lighten up or whatever it is you want them to do, you know, just coming back into your own energy and really being the joy that you came here to be can inspire them. And if it doesn't, it's not your fault. You know.
But I guess that's the point, is that how do you channel that energy to lift them out of whatever they're suffering, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe they like suffering. You know, some people do.
Well, some people do, but okay. Yep.
Yeah, I would say ask the angels to help them, you know, like just by calling them angels, please go to so-and-so. And by doing that, you're creating that bridge of light. But if you keep asking repetitively or you obsess, then you're creating a toxic cord between you and that person. Uh-huh. And that's not serving you or them. So if you feel that that's happening, you ask Archangel Michael to come in and help you cut that cord so you can raise your vibration again. And just try to send the light and then allow yourself to detach as much as you can, because that's the way you'll be of most service and stay well yourself.
Hmm. Trish, this could be good for you for dealing with this person who keeps coming after you with neediness and, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, this might be something you should talk to her about. And
you mean, I'll send her the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please send her the book.
Yeah, I agree.
But she's somebody who needs to help herself, though, you know.
Absolutely. And sometimes when we step back, that's when that person decides to do something, you know, because people that are very needy and that pull other people's energy and draw, you know, constant help, like a bottomless well that people keep pouring help into.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people step back, they kind of go, oh, I've got to do this myself. Hang on. You know, whereas when we're all rallying around somebody pouring energy into them, they don't get to look at that at all.
But I will say, I think something unique to the 21st century so far, because of the COVID situation and everything, everybody kind of isolated and people are much more unlikely to reach out and try to help somebody, you know, back off the brink. And I just think that's unfortunate, but anyway, so there's empathy, but there has been something over the last 5 years that have kind of confined people. And I think that's unfortunate, because I do think that by and large, a lot of people it is more about cutting ties rather than drawing people in. Could be wrong.
Yeah, but during COVID, confinement was mostly physical, you know.
But that extrapolates, we can go down this path, you know, mask, hiding ourselves. Yeah. Staying away from people, not interacting physically with people. It's been a weird century so far. Sorry, disembodied John. That's just been my experience.
That's okay. Thanks for sharing it. And I think you're right. Community is so important, and mixing with like-minded souls and really sharing your light with others is so important. You know, just being on your own can be really unhealthy, you know?
Well, that's one reason a lot of people adopted pets during COVID, you know, especially dogs, you know? Okay, dog, talk to me.
We need company. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's true.
If you're spiritually minded, you definitely need that spiritual community as well. And just even in local community, even if people are not on the same wavelength as you, I think local community is so important as well.
So, Susan, what are some of the different ways that angels can communicate other than just like a thought that comes, you know, you recognize that it's not from your mind, but there are other ways they can communicate.
That's right. They can give us signs. So I give some examples of experiences I've had where I've asked angels for a sign and I got a sudden thought. I know that's a thought. To turn on the radio and I was driving. And then in the next hour, three songs were played with my name in.
Wow.
And
so, oh, that's, you know, that's a synchronicity. That's huge.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, I really felt that was. And then another day I asked the angels to give me a sign. And I was out for lunch, you know, I was working that day and I just stopped by for some lunch. And on the radio came the Eurythmics song, Talking to an Angel.
Wow.
Nice. So things like that. And they arrange, you know, synchronicities and things like that for us. And pass messages that way, because there's so many different ways that people can receive the angels' messages. And a lovely way to connect with the angels as well is by using angel oracle cards. If you find a deck that you love, I love Diana Cooper's decks, but there's lots of great decks out there. And if you find one that you like, it's a lovely way to start the day, just to tap the cards to clear the energy, give them a shuffle, think, well, angels, what do I need to know today? And just taking out one card. And that's a lovely invitation as well.
Yeah. At the beginning of our interview, you mentioned dragons. Tell us a little bit about dragons.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the dragons.
Are they like earth beings, you know, related to the earth? Or?
Yeah, so they're actually angelic beings, but they work on different elements. So there's earth dragons, air dragons, water dragons, fire dragons, and lots of different kinds of dragons, like cosmic dragons. And they are the most amazing beings. And they're fantastic to work with if you want to transmit really heavy energies, because the angels are so high frequency, it can be almost difficult for them to go into low frequency areas and clear things. So then you can call in the dragons, who can work on many different energies. And they can go in and clear things. You know, like you can ask them to clear the ley lines or clear the land. Like, say, if someone was having trouble with their home or whatever, they could ask the earth dragons to come in and clear the land under their home, you know, clear all the energy. Because if you imagine all the history under our feet right now, where we are in the earth, all the things that have happened, you know, on this very spot. So we can ask the dragons to come in and clear that. But I love working with the dragons. They're fantastic.
Do they look like you, like they're depicted?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen?
And breathing fire breathing?
Yeah, fire dragons. And they're fantastic for transmutation. Like if there's stuff that needs to be cleared away, you can call it the fire dragons. And you just imagine they're breathing their fire over everything, you know, to clear away the stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, so you can see them.
Yeah,
like in your head,
see them in my mind. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Now, do they have fire at the end of their tail?
No, they breathe fire, but they breathe fire. Really fiery, like they're almost on fire, kind of. I'm sure they appear differently to different people. You know, like the angels show up in whatever way makes sense to us.
Yeah. Here's a question. I think that's probably an important one, because when people might say, okay, I'll try this, and they ask a few times during the day and they really don't pick up anything. How can they break through this blockage? Is it really more about belief, or is it something
practice?
Just need to focus more on, or what do they need to do to?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you hit the nail on the head, Trish, when you said practice, because it's not going to work the same for everybody. So I would say try different things, and like having an open mind and an open heart as well. So you mentioned about belief. You know, it's definitely easier to work with angels if you believe. You know, if you believe that they're there, it's much harder if you don't believe. But I mean, I can be, you know, a skeptic in my life as well. So, you know, sometimes I would have said, oh, angels, come on, if you're there, show me something. definitely it's practice. And also surrounding yourself with things connected with the angels. So definitely books about the angels, like this one, the Astro Angel. But listening, you know, to things like this, we're talking about angels. And finding out more and more about the angels, it really welcomes them in. And I feel that people make progress that way. I've heard of people who for ages they were saying, oh, I haven't experienced anything. And other people are saying they saw this or they did that, or, you know, this happened for them, nothing happens for me. And then all of a sudden they'll say, oh, this thing happened. Yes. I would say just, you know, keep going and don't worry too much. You know, when we get stressed, oh, the angels, they might not connect with me. You know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Then we're lowering our frequency because we're getting to a point of worry and we're more difficult. It's more difficult for us to perceive the signs.
I wonder, though, if it'd be harder to do that with dragons. I mean, you know, I had a fire dragon. I had an earth dragon, you know. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it's with what resonates, you know. I have always loved dragons. I remember as a child finding them a bit fascinating. Now, in our culture, dragons are a bit scary, whereas in Eastern cultures, they're magnificent, you know, amazing beings. And I understand that that's what they are now, too. You know, that they're these wonderful helpers of the angelic realms that you can work with in so many different ways. So I guess it's follow your instinct. There's so many helpers available. Pick the ones that resonate with you and work with them.
It's so interesting. I attracted this guy who has a story about a dragon. That's why I'm curious about what you're saying about dragons. And this guy's, I mean, it's a metaphor for, I think in his book, it's a metaphor for Christ. But the way he does it is so, it's so strong. You know, I mean, this guy, this dragon comes to Earth in a golden egg, and he's found by this tribe of donkeys, you know, and he's raised as a donkey, and he knows he's really different. It's just a fascinating story, but that's why I was wondering. And I asked about the flame at the end of his tail, because he had one.
Ah, amazing.
Yeah. That's interesting you're talking about dragons. And okay, I'm going to find my dragon, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because there's Diana Cooper talks about a golden Christed dragon as well.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. I got to get her book too, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love her book about dragons. I mean, I love her books anyway, but the dragon book is just fascinating.
Huh.
Dragon cards as well.
So tell us about what happens when you have a group you're teaching.
What dragons come out?
Yeah. No. What do you lead people like in meditation, or how do you
the
work
dragon
with them?
Workshop. Do you mean with the dragon workshop?
Not any workshop, angel workshop.
Any workshop. Yeah. So I do the online ones. I tend to have as an hour long class, and I'll deliver that on Zoom, and we'll do meditations. I'll talk a little bit about whatever the topic is. Usually have a theme, and it could be the angels or dragons or, you know, another topic. And then we'll do visualizations, and the visualizations will be very active. So you'll be doing spiritual work in the visualizations, like clearings, bringing in new codes of light and upgrading the energy fields.
What about the dragon workshops? What do you do there? I'm curious about this.
One of my most popular dragon workshop replays is Make Your Home a Portal of Light. That's with the dragons. And there's one about the rainbow dragons as well. There's lots of different lovely topics. So Make Your Home a Portal of Light is very popular. And you can just, you know, leave it playing in the background as well. I mean, obviously the first time you want to do it and be present. But like it's a lovely clearing one as well to raise the frequency of your home. So they could do lots of different things. Yeah, the dragons. Yeah.
Now, do you advertise the Zoom ones on your website when you have
absolutely.
These?
Yeah, and I have a newsletter, and I'll send that out, and I'll pop it on my social media pages as well, on Instagram and Facebook.
I think I'm going to tell this guy about your dragon workshop. I think he'd love it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oh, yes, do.
Yeah. Well, I'd like it too, but I'm just saying I think he would really love it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So do you ever work with children or talk to children about angels or?
No, not so much. I've done work in schools with creativity and nature more so, but not so much about the angels, no.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that. Children are much more open than adults because they haven't been, you know, processed by the everyday reality so much. One time we had a friend of Trisha's, Carol Bowman, who does past life regressions, and she came to our house. So we had a group of people come, and our daughter was younger then, had several of her friends. And, you know, all of the, then we're led into meditation, hypnotic regression, and these kids all came up with past lives. You know, the adults are looking out.
It was incredible. Oh,
where are they getting this from? You know, I mean, they're raising their hands, and it's.
Yeah, and so natural to them. They don't have all the layers that, you know, have life, like you said.
So, how about. Do you have any rituals you do related to angels in your daily life?
Yeah, I love to light a candle, and I love to pick a few cards and set my intention for the day. I'm always harping on about intention, you know, like, and you know, I use the cards to just gain insights about anything that maybe I need to know about the day.
About the angel cards.
Yeah, angel cards. So dragon cards, you know, I use the dragon cards as well, and unicorn cards. And so I have lots of different
types of cards. Unicorn, that's cool.
I know, they're amazing. Yeah.
Now, is that part of the angel realm, unicorns?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So they appear to us like horses with radiating light, their third eye, which looks like a horn. That's how they appear to humans, but amazing light beings on the angelic realms that help us with our soul learning as well. I mean, they're a similar job to angels, but more about our soul.
That is cool. Do you have one in your backyard?
Actually, I do. I have a unicorn portrait in my backyard.
Do you?
Yes.
It's funny.
Yeah, I love standing in it or sitting in it.
That's great.
I guess it might help for people who might be somewhat skeptical that if they just have an attitude of curiosity, you know, to see what's going to happen, be open to it. That seems to be important, because if you're just putting up, you know, if you want to prove that there are no angels, you can certainly do it by just, you know, putting a barrier around yourself. And that's what, people who are super skeptical of, psychic phenomena do. And, you know, there's no way that you can give a reading to them and that it means anything to them, because they have such a barrier to, having a, you know, an experience, I guess, like that goes beyond their everyday awareness, I guess.
Yeah, and arguably, I suppose that's back to fear, isn't it? It's a fear of the unknown.
That is.
Fear of things we can't control or explain. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's coming from a place of there. And so I guess we, you know, try to be compassionate about that if you meet it, you know, because it can be, I guess people can be a little bit offensive maybe if they're very, very against and, you know, questioning and stuff, but that's really where it's coming from is likely to be fear.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your workshops, do you have to deal with people's fears?
Sometimes, but usually, because when I do a workshop, it usually becomes a very, very high vibrational space. Mm-hmm. I call in lots of beings of light, angels and guides before the workshop starts. And it's like people go through this almost this beautiful light field when they come in. And it's very, very protective. So people often feel very safe and very lifted. Yeah. And we do a lot of work with Archangel Michael at the beginning as well to help everybody feel protected, protect their energy and protect the space.
Is he the most powerful archangel?
Well, certainly for protection, I think. He's like the bouncer.
The bouncer.
The bouncer, yeah.
I love it.
Peggy. No, he's like the spiritual bouncer, you know. All of it keeps all the lower frequency stuff out. It helps us to clear away, you know, any gunk that we've absorbed. Yeah.
Huh.
And Christianity and Catholicism, which Trish and I grew up with, there are angels, but there's also fallen angels we have heard about. Can you talk about that? Do you believe?
I never bought fallen? That. A lot of that stuff I never bought. They sell.
I have to say, I'm not very knowledgeable because I don't buy it either. And it doesn't appeal to me, so I've never really put my attention on it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do get asked that a lot.
If they're there, you don't want to attract it.
Yeah, it's like even talking about that is kind of giving them airspace and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if they're fallen, you could sick the dragons on them. Go get them.
Yeah, and when you call in the angels, you're calling in the angels, not the fallen ones. Unless you specifically want to include them, but I don't recommend it.
Let's go the other way then. How do we bring in more light? Raising the light.
Yeah. How do we bring in more light? Yeah, that's a gorgeous question. Yeah. So, I mean, even just asking the question in your mind, angels, how do I bring in more light? Try it now. Maybe we all close our eyes for a moment.
Okay. Probably blow up the room here.
Angels, how do I bring in more light? And if anybody wants to share anything, please do.
Do you get anything, Trish? John?
No, I was just saying, please try. Please try. Please try.
Hey, you don't want the dead air, right? you can cut out the dead air.
but also, I don't like the idea of a bouncer. I would like the idea of folks. I would like the idea of the angels trying to bring folks in to the light, but anyway, but that's the please try. That's the please try. Just please try.
One thing I noticed was that sounds were clearer, which may not have anything to do with light, but.
Yeah, sounds are clearer. So it was like a sensation changed.
Yeah. A sense change.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And Rob, what happened to you there?
You know, I just got very quiet and I didn't really pick up anything.
Yeah, that's okay. I just instantly felt more relaxed and I felt like the message was sometimes to slow down. Mm. You know, like when we're rushing, we're tense and it's harder to be in our light if we're feeling it. That's kind of the message that came through for me just now when I asked that. But like I would say, pardon?
No, I guess I was one that was rushing. Please try, please try, please try. But
I just want to go back to your point about the bouncer. The bouncer is not about keeping people out. It's about keeping lower energies out. Uh-huh. So, you know, and gunk and stuff that we don't want in our space. It's definitely not about keeping people out. Yeah.
But can we move beyond these conflicts so that these people disappear from our lives that are there and, you know, that are living on like what we would think would be a lower level? But, you know, they might think the same thing about us. I don't know.
I would rather change their lives, but go ahead.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess our mission is to be in our own light and to try to rise above judgment and this separation consciousness, because the truth is oneness consciousness, that we're all connected, no matter how people appear, how they seem to be behaving. Everybody's coming from their own perspective of what feels real and right to them. Mm-hmm. But the truth of their soul is light. and that we're all connected, you know, all around the planet, every single person, no matter what anybody's up to. Mm-hmm. We're all connected in this.
Yeah. even though in our everyday life, it seems like we're all disconnected, or there's a lot of disconnection, on the bigger picture is that, yes, we are all interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more we, I guess, meditate, work with the angels, raise our vibration, work with our light, the easier it is to tap into that and to make it stronger for ourselves. We practice it and really, really tune into that.
Yeah. Susan, you should go into politics and teach this stuff. That's what these politicians
need to know. Don't go into politics.
No, but to teach them about the light, you know, how you lift yourself and others.
I'm sure there are some politicians who are, you know.
I'm not.
Others
might. Oh, maybe there are.
Yeah, I think there are some who are a little uplifted. Related to that is the question is, this is a good one for the angels, is how do we avoid getting triggered by other people?
When I ask the angels, how do I avoid something, they ask me to rephrase the question.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's funny.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do I avoid something? I think of its opposite. So how do I avoid getting triggered? What's the opposite to being triggered?
How do I maintain peace, inner peace?
Yeah. Well, right.
Empathy. Right. It's empathy.
Yeah, empathy.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So how do I expand empathy within myself? How do I create more empathy within myself? Angels, how do I create more empathy within myself? And like, if you get into the habit of asking these questions, it gets easier and the answers come more freely.
Right.
By just trying the first time, it can be a little bit, I would like what's happening, but get into the habit of putting those questions forward. But yeah, creating more empathy. Always think of what you want to create. If we think of what we're wanting to get rid of, then our mind just goes, oh, yeah, trigger, judgment. It starts.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't help ourselves. That's the way the mind goes. So the angels help us to work our mind in the best way possible, our higher mind.
That's interesting, yeah. Thank you for joining us.
This has been great. I've learned a lot.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.
John, when will this go up? You know,
well, yeah, as usual, that's a good question.
Ask probably, the angels.
Yeah, it's two. I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Okay. But
yeah, well, 2 weeks from Sunday.
And I'll
send you the link, Susan.
And you have a website that people can go to.
Yeah, tell them about.
Yeah, it's angeleft.com. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, Angel EFT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was wondering about that, EFT.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and the book is out in America and Canada right now, and it's called Ask Your Angel Guides.
Right. I got one right here.
Mind. You got one. Awesome. Fabulous. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook if people want to say hello over there as well, and YouTube as well.
Are you on as yourself?
Exactly. If you type in Susan Angel EFT into Google, all those things should come up.
Great.
All right. Well, this was so much fun. This is fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. I think you should be the heart of every party, every gathering.
Thank you so much.
I think the world would progress a lot faster if you were.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye now.
Have a good night.
Bye now. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining The Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, Thank you for listening, and stay mystical.